Hello, everybody, and welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
Dude, already got the giggles. We haven't even done anything yet. You're already giggling.
Yeah, but I'm always giggling. Yeah. It's my jam.
Well, all right, so I have to tell a story. You guys kind of already know this story, but I have to tell this because it's a little bit silly.
Is this on topic?
No, it's not on topic. Sorry. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about in a moment. But
fast
I'm not
forward
yet.
If you'd like, or listen to Eric's silly story.
You guys don't hear this, but there's like 7 minutes of laughing before we start.
I know. So you know how you name your iPhone, right?
Yes.
And it used to be named something really boring, like Eric's iPhone or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, at some point, I thought it was really funny to change my phone's name to Your Mom. And it's like in all caps, Your Mom. Just so if anybody is trying to airdrop something, they're like, who's Your Mom? Or whatever. I just think it's really funny. Anyway, I started getting all these airdrops to my phone, and I'm like, what is going on? And I found out that like my class and Marie's class from next door they thought they were airdropping their project to their mom.
To their actual mom.
Because they just figured, oh, it's my mom.
Mikey was your son. He was like, can I send this to my mom? And I'm like, email it? He's like, no, she's right here on AirDrop.
This is Marie's way of telling me we need to talk about retention.
We're going to have a public discussion.
That's right. We'll just air our dirty laundry. Anyway, so today we are talking about behavior charts. And I think you can tell by the title, Boo Behavior Charts. You can kind of tell how we feel about behavior charts.
Or it's about the ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe, yeah, it's like about the ghost of behavior charts.
Right. So disclaimer, in case you are a fan of behavior charts, sorry.
Yeah, we're not trying to rip on anybody
here.
We're
not.
I think all three of us talked about it. We all have used behavior charts.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yes. You know, it's not like we've...
Well, and I think it's the whole, like, you do what's best for you. You might have a year where you need to have one, or you might have a, you know...
Yes, for sure, for sure. And I think, really, the idea here is to not only talk about if you are going to stop using behavior charts, why? And then what are some other options that might work as well or better than behavior charts. That's the idea. It's not to just shame somebody and say, like, how dare you.
No, I mean, absolutely not. That's like putting them on a behavior chart.
Exactly. Well, and why do people use behavior charts? Well, because you have anywhere from probably 20 to 30 kids in your room,
mm-hmm.
and they have different behaviors that are going on, and you are responsible for teaching them to read, write, do math.
Right.
Like behavior sometimes you're just like, look, I just need to put this on lockdown and move on.
Right. I mean, the two of you could probably be on a behavior chart.
We definitely would be. At the staff meetings, I would be yellow or red.
We'd be clipping down fast.
That's right. So when we say behavior charts, we're talking about anything from a traditional one that you see a lot is red, yellow, and green, right? And a teacher mm-hmm. may say something like, pull your card or change to yellow if you get in trouble.
Or hop down.
Yeah.
And there's other ones where people use like clips. And then you can clip up or clip down depending on your behavior. And in general, they're not really reward-based. Like some people say, if you're green all week, you can come to a lunch or you can do a special activity. Usually they're more of a punishment base, right? Like mm-hmm. you're on red, then I call home. Or if you're in yellow, it means you have to stand for 5 minutes of recess. And like we talked about, the reason that we use them is because they're easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very easy. When you see them on Pinterest, they're very appealing, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, ooh, well, that's easy. I can put it up. People will know I mean business. But there are some things about them that are not good. I could start with an easy story of myself, kind of where I came around on behavior charts was thinking about my own schooling. And, you know, I took my teachers, what they said so literally that if a teacher would have said like, oh, you know, chicken nuggets from McDonald's are the best, I would have gone out and said, oh, I got to have chicken nuggets, you know, because it's your teacher and you mm-hmm. think that they are the smartest person on the earth.
Trust them, you believe them, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so I believe that I was a yellow kid. I wasn't red because those kids were out in the hall a lot and I was only out in the hall some, right? And, you know, but I was a yellow kid. So I took that internally, right? I really thought that that's what the teacher thought of me. Now, I know that's not what my teacher intended. My teacher was just like, Eric, shut up. That was the message I think she tried to send to me was like, will you stop talking to your neighbor?
Constantly.
Right. Constantly.
Yeah.
Or yelling out jokes.
Good thing you outgrew that.
You know what? I'm so glad.
New neighbor.
Which proves behavior charts don't work. But anyway.
Right. Yeah, can we have my wife listen to this? She has a behavior chart for me at home, and I'd like her to stop. Anyway. But really, it did affect my view of myself, mm-hmm. like as a person. And I think that was really damaging for me in my early life, just that kind of public persona that the kids saw. So that would be, when we start talking about why not, that's kind of where I start from. But, you know, let's just talk about like the kind of shaming or demeaning, you know, portion or the kind of the effect that they have. What would you say about that, Mike? Like,
well, I mean, you just got to put yourself in the kids' shoes. So they come in first thing in the morning and yeah, maybe they're a little wound up or maybe they're off or whatever, or they had a rough start to their morning, or they're so excited about something. They come in, they're bouncing off the walls. We've all had those kids, right?
Yeah.
And instantly you have to like lay into them or you have to talk to them. But instead of just talking to them, you say, move your clip down. So the whole class sees that Johnny Johnson or whatever moved his clip down to
not a real child.
Not a real child. To yellow or to whatever, however you do it. Now all of a sudden that kid's got this, you know, his whole day is now defined by that thing that happened first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but if you get talked to by an adult about something you're doing as an adult, that hurts your feelings. You don't feel good about that. And, you know, I've seen people talk about this in staff, like, do this in a staff meeting. Put everybody's name up on the board, and the second they're off task during a staff meeting, put a little check by their name or tell them to go move their clip down or whatever. You've got teachers in your building that would be like, I'm done. I'm not listening to a word this lady's got to say the rest of the day. I don't care who she is. Well, that's what kids are. That's what kids do with us as teachers, too.
Oh, it shuts them down.
It shuts them right down.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not how to get anywhere with a child.
No, and I think, too, like Eric had just said, like it stigmatizes certain kids. And, I mean, anybody can walk into our classroom that's not even a teacher. It could be a parent. It could be another teacher. It could be anyone. And that's a very visual representation, like, oh, so-and-so is on red. Like, and they know, and to me, like, I don't know, dealing with behavior can be such like a private thing between the teacher and student, like to work on things. You know what I mean? It doesn't need to be a public display at all times.
Definitely. And we'll get to that too.
Discipline with dignity. I mean, that's
the key. Well, I think that brings you to the next thing is that basically they teach judgment, not empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you judging, but other kids, like you were saying, Mike, judge too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like if you're a new kid that came into a classroom and you saw three kids' name on yellow, you would basically say, well, those three kids are naughty.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have kids are very perceptive and they can pick up on those things on their own pretty easily. But I would rather have kids form their own opinions, not based on my viewpoint, because I've had plenty of kids that could be quote unquote yellow kids because they talk. But as far as friends go, they make great friends.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it can definitely set up a child to be ridiculed or to go, they go home like, who's on red today or yellow? And they tell their parents, so-and-so was. And their parents will say, well, I don't want you playing with that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, man, we don't think about some of those effects.
Those external, like, consequences of it.
Yeah, totally. So, Mike, you were kind of talking about this a little bit. The other thing is if somebody comes in and you just say, move your card, you didn't even address what the problem was.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Let me think of a good example. If you ever yell at your dog for doing something they did 10 minutes ago, the dog has no idea what they're in trouble for. Well, a kid, they might not even know what they did wrong. They came in all goofy and happy and bouncing off the walls and talking to their friends, and you're like, you need to go sit down, move your clip, move your card, whatever. They don't know why. Was it because I was out of my seat? Was it because I was talking? Was it because I didn't turn my homework in? Why am I moving? You know, they have no idea.
Yeah, and it's the cause and effect, right? You're treating the effect, but the cause, like you were saying, Marie, like if you took the time to talk to the child, then you could actually address the real issue.
Right. Well, I think, like, look at our teaching. Like, we are supposed to differentiate everything. And a behavior chart, like, why can't behavior be differentiated too?
Absolutely.
I think, like, the behavior chart model, and I mean, you said we've all done it before.
Right.
Sure.
And I think it's effective for maybe, like, three or four kids in your class, and those kids probably aren't kids who are being knocked down all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like a one size, you know, fits everybody, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? I think it also brings up the, you know, kids aren't dumb. And if you are going to use this model of discipline in your classroom, you got to stay consistent every single day with every single child.
Oh, yeah.
And that just doesn't work with elementary
kids. That's not reality.
But the reality of it is if so-and-so is driving you crazy and it's the 10th time you've asked them to stop talking so they have to move their clip down today, But then another kid who really rarely does anything wrong, but they're talking, you don't tell them with their clip down, you lose your credibility as a teacher as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, difficult to stay consistent with this model of discipline.
Right, or even the ones where you, because there are ones where you can also, you know, go up. You know what I mean? So you're right. Not in that, mm-hmm. like, neutral zone. But then any time I've ever used it, I've used it for, like, 2 weeks and then forgotten about it.
Right.
Like,
that's what I did, too.
Like, what's the point of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it turned into basically a way to punish. You know, mm-hmm. I think, too, that, like, we're big into having kids be self-reliant. I think mm-hmm. That part of the reason we talked about flex seating and some of these things is we want kids to build a sense of self-reliance, not of compliance, right? Mm-hmm. So these are all about compliance to your rules. And, like, this year, I didn't even have classroom rules. I just didn't. I said, look, you guys know, like, what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're here to talk about the gray area. What I'm here to help you with are all those things that fall in between. Like you were talking about, Mike, there's no one size fits all. No. So how we handle it is if there's a problem, then we meet as a class about it and say, mm-hmm. how do you all feel about this? And then we'll decide as a class what works for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work for me, I'm part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole compliance, it's the whole idea, like, I am the teacher. I make the rules. I enforce the rules. It's about me, not about your community, right? Yeah. So let's move on to some options then. So let's say you've used a behavior chart. Maybe you're not in love with either, but you're not sure what you could try, right?
Well, and there are some kids who definitely behavior plans are beneficial and helpful, but it's more on an individual basis.
Yes. Yeah, if it's something where you're using it as a communication tool with parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still argue that if you have a smiley face, medium face, or unhappy face with a note for parents on the daily, that can be destructive too. Mm-hmm. I think that in the same way we talked about how homework has the ability to destroy a family's evening,
yeah,
I think that these can too. I think that a child basically has to carry that shame home with them, all those things. Some people might say, good, they deserved it, but I'm not sure that any child really deserves that. I think that, like, you're better off calling a parent, even mm-hmm. though it takes more time, because we all know email or short notes take less time, but to call, you can really talk about the child. You can talk about what are their strengths, what are their gifts, and what are you working on, rather than a quick, they did this, here's their note.
Right, and address a couple specific incidents throughout the day. If you need to contact a parent,
right.
Here are two or three things that happened, and that's why I'm calling you. But to just send home a note that has a frowny face on it, so you're telling me for 6.5 hours the kid did nothing right?
Yeah, good point.
I mean, come on. So,
well,
but that's what that kid sees. My totally. Son was victim to this in kindergarten. He came home with some red cards, and I mean, you could tell when he would walk in my classroom at the end of the day, I could tell what kind of card he got. Not what kind of day he had.
Right.
But what kind of card he got at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Immediately by his demeanor when he walked in.
Exactly. And you're, I mean, a wonderful teacher.
Yeah.
But that's not even the point. It's something that's an ingrained thing into teachers. Our teachers did it to us. We do it to our kids. Mm-hmm. And then we justify it by basically saying, well, it worked for me. Where it really doesn't work and it's kind of archaic. In reality, you know, and I think too, when you could call a parent or you could talk to them, it gives you an opportunity to use words like, how can we help support this child,
uh-huh.
rather than using all negatives. You know, you get to throw some positive stuff in there as well.
Right.
So let's talk about one way that I think one way that I found for this year, let's take this behavior example of, like, I have a child that needs a behavior plan. One of the ways that was successful for me is we use, you know, Seesaw. We've talked about it many times. I created a class that the only child was just this one child. Mm-hmm. So whatever we shared in that class was only between his parents, myself, and the child. So none of the other kids could see this. And if we had a good day or bad day, I would take 2 minutes, record a video, and just reflect with him. And I'd say, hey, what do you think went well today? What was something we really need to work on? And it gave him a chance not only to tell his side of the story or to tell the story how he saw it, but it gave it a dialogue, not just a name, like, you were naughty.
Process through it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I know you have a student that's doing
that
too,
right? I do too, and this isn't even behavior. This is just a student who we needed to find an easy way for him to communicate with his family. And so I did the same thing, like, I made a class where it's just the student and, you know, and his parents and the teacher, and he just makes a quick video every day about what he did that day. And it's a great just communication tool.
Sure.
So it doesn't even have to be behavior, just a really good way for his parents to get a video. They can watch the video at home together and talk through his day.
Yeah. And one of the other things that I've started doing, and I got this idea from another educator, is having a journal.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about just having a little journal as a teacher, I can look back at when I talked to that child about that issue last and show it to them. So, like, when I meet with a kid, mm-hmm. I write the date and what we talked about. We talk about it together. And then if that issue comes up again, when I meet with them, I can say either, wow, this hasn't happened in 2 months. Why are we going back to this? What's happening? Right. Or I can say, wow, we've talked about this twice in 2 weeks. You know, is it time to get...
Here's the solution we tried. Here's what we were going to try. Oop, it didn't work. Like, what's another solution we can
Do? Because no kid wants to be naughty or bad. It's not a real thing.
No.
And if they do, there's something psychological going on with them, right? And I feel like with all kids, they have needs. It's a matter of figuring out what is that need. Why do they need that attention? What is going on? And really, behavior plans, you know... They don't address any of those things. Where if you talk to the child, yes, it takes longer to see change sometimes, but it's lasting change, and it's change that you can have a dialogue with. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I've had to stick to one of my own plans or rules and felt bad about it. Like I send some home to parents. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just feel kind of bad that I even had to do that. And it was basically because I set some rules and I had to follow those rules, and they were too black and white.
Yeah.
Right. So. You know, what about, like, building relationships and community? I'll tell you one thing as a child that really affected me was sending kids to the hall. I had a music teacher who's not alive anymore, so she does not listen to the podcast.
Maybe that's the ghost part of this.
There you go.
Boo.
Boo. But I did most of my music K-5 from the hallway. That, to me, is a big nonverbal from teachers to a student that you don't belong at school, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of nonverbal messages that we send kids by how we do behavior. For example, you send a child to the office to see the principal. You're basically saying, I cannot handle your behavior. Right. Mm-hmm. It is so bad that from here on out, no matter what I do, I can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I need the principal to handle this. Where, I just don't think that's fair to the principal. And I also think that you need to reserve that for things that are unsafe.
Right, yes.
Not for just, I'm so done with you, you're going somewhere else. You know, I feel like that is one of those other archaic type of things. Like, if you're really naughty, you go to the principal's office.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of made a deal with myself about 6 or 7 years ago that I would not send any children to the principal's office unless it was an issue of safety. And I found by keeping those kids closer to me that I was able to build community and build a rapport with them that I needed to work on some pretty difficult issues.
Right.
And so that was one of the other things that I kind of made a deal with myself on. And I think that goes right along with the judgment. I'm not judging you and sending you to the equivalent of the police.
Right.
But if I talk to your parents, I'm obviously trying to work on this with you and them.
Right.
If I'm talking to you, we're working on this. But the second I send you away to someone else, I think... That sends that message.
The message is, I'm done with you.
Right.
It is.
And no child wants
no.
somebody they care about to tell them they're done with them.
No. And two, there's studies out there. Just Google school to prison pipeline. And there are studies done that children who are expelled or sent to the principal or put in the hall are more likely to end up in jail or end up in prison as adults because it's sending them constant communication from an adult that's saying, you are not part of this community.
Yeah.
Right. And they believe it.
Well,
so.
I think community is huge in my room. We don't, I mean, like you, I don't know that we have any set rules. Our only thing we say all the time is own it, fix it. I've come from like our big like buzzword of the year is ownership. Yeah. And that's like owning, like knowing who you can and can't sit by to learn best. But also like if you make a mistake, it's, you know, don't lie about it. Own it. And how are you going to fix
right.
it?
Take responsibility.
And honestly, that language, we've used it all year and it's been really powerful
own
for
it, fix it.
Pretty much
Love
every,
it.
Every situation that we, you know, we've ever had.
Yeah.
So.
I always make my kids, if there's something I have to address with them, like, why'd you do that? Like, what happened? You know? And they're, oh, I don't know. I won't let them. Nope, I don't know is not an answer. I make them actually think about it, process it, and try to come up with a reason why. Even if it's I was just being silly or I was goofing around or whatever.
Sure.
You've got to take responsibility
for it. Yeah. So here's the last thing that we'll say is other options. Focus on the behavior you want to see, not on what you see in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
One line that I love that I learned at a workshop was, that's not like you.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it is exactly like the kid, they do it every week. You say, wow, you chose to hit somebody? That is not like you. If you use those words over and over, the child will start to believe you that that is not like them. So focus on whether it's, you know, your kids are all coming to see you, and you focus on the kids who are following the rules rather than those that aren't.
Right.
Whatever that looks like, really focus on what you want to see, not what you see in front of you. So, all right. Well, productive, man. I love being able to share stuff like this, because sharing mistakes and moving forward are just, that's what teaching's all about.
It's about learning. Yeah, that's, I mean, behavior is just as much learning as anything else we do.
Yeah. Oh, wait, if we're quiet for a minute, you'll hear all my kids outside my door.
Hooting and hollering.
Singing.
Oh, yeah, there they are. I'll tell you what, should I start a behavior chart for those kids? No, I should not. Boo behavior charts.
Boo behavior charts.
All right, and thanks for listening. This is Eric Robinson.
This is Mike Brown.
Marie Larson.
All right, Teachers Talking Tech. See ya.